It is time to ask the doctors. The number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your questions about staying safe as we head into the summer, vaccinations, the future of the pandemic. With us this week, we have Dr. Shira Durone, an infectious disease physician and hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, and Dr. Davidson Hamer, infectious diseases physician at Boston Medical Center and a professor of infectious diseases and medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. Dr. Durone, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thank you.
Dr. Hamer, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Tiziana.
And then again, that number to ask your questions, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right, doctors, you know, the vaccination rate is in the mid-50s, going up for sure, but also feels like it's slowing. Is that right? And is that expected at this stage, Dr. Durone?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, this is sort of where we wanted to get. We were so frustrated initially that everyone wanted to be vaccinated all at once, and we weren't able to vaccinate people as quickly as we would have liked. And, you know, in some ways, this is a good place to be, where everyone who wants to be vaccinated can be. Now, we'd like to get to a much higher number, but let's not forget that among those who are unvaccinated, a really substantial proportion are previously infected, which also provides immunity.
So I want to pick up on that thread, Dr. Hamer. Dr. Durone said we're mostly where we wanted to get. Let me ask the counterpoint. Is there any part of where we are on our vaccinations right now that isn't where we wanted to get at this point?
I think there may be. I mean, you know, I think it would be nice, as Dr. Durone said, to have a higher level of coverage. And even people that were infected in the past, sort of recommendation is that they receive the vaccine too, because immunity, you know, the duration of how long somebody is protected may vary, especially depending on the initial level of severity of the infection. So we need to understand more of the natural history. But some people may, you know, if they were sick a year ago and they had a mild infection, they may not be so well protected today. But the other issue is trying to make sure that people that have had difficulties accessing the vaccine are able to get to the vaccine, or the vaccine can get to them. And that I think that there's certain, you know, neighborhoods or certain demographics where it may have been more challenging to access the vaccine for different reasons. And we need to try and understand that and then do targeted outreach.
All right, the callers are here, so let's start taking them. 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Stephen on the line in Hingham. Stephen, go ahead.
So my question is about contact tracing. We talked about it very early on in the pandemic. We heard a little bit about it along the way, but very little. And in the end, I think nothing really useful. What happened?
Dr. Durone.
Well, contact tracing is still happening. And the good news is that with the cases being so low, it's a lot easier for our local health departments to keep up. They are still alerted every time someone in their town tests positive, and they reach out and find out who those people's contacts were. So, you know, there was a time when, you know, a relatively small proportion of contact tracing was able to be completed because there were so many new cases each day, and that's no longer the case. So that is happening.
Back to the phones, 800-423-8255. Amanda's on the line from Westboro. Amanda, go ahead.
Hi, my question's about mask wearing, especially into the fall for children. If a child is wearing a mask and the other classmates are not wearing the mask, will the mask wearer be protected?
Dr. Hamer.
So, Amanda, that's a good question. I think that we've learned a fair amount about mask use, and masks clearly help somebody who's infected to help reduce spread from that person. They also appear to play a role in helping prevent people from being exposed if they're wearing a mask. So I think the short answer is yes. You know, if they're one child's wearing a mask and somebody else around them's infected, that they should have protection to some degree. It depends on the quality of the mask and how well fit it is and how often they're wearing it and so forth.
And I do want to clarify, although children gather indoors under a variety of circumstances, right now it is still the requirement of the Commonwealth that in school settings, all kids wear masks, just to remind listeners of that. So, Dr. Daron, we've been talking about vaccinations. We've been talking about the rate. You talked about us being sort of where we wanted to be now. My question may be a little bit of a false choice, but if we're going to take limited resources and now really focus on driving numbers of vaccinations, should we be working on just the overall percentage in the state, or should we be specifically focusing on communities that are lagging in their vaccination rates in terms of just overall public health?
I think it's actually more important. The latter is more important. I think that what we want to be achieving right now is to make sure that what I said, which was actually a relatively broad generalization, is actually true, that everyone who wants a vaccine can have a vaccine. You know, the proportion of the people in our state that are vaccinated, you know, wherever we are with that, it's working because cases are plummeting. So I don't think we should be focusing on getting to a number. I think we should be focusing on making sure that A, everyone who wants one can have one and that there aren't barriers to their getting one. And that B, those who are hesitant but would consider being vaccinated are receiving the type of education that they need to make the best decision about their own health.
And Dr. Hamer, if we are unable to bring communities that are significantly lagging in vaccination rates up to the level of the rest of the Commonwealth, also, by the way, assuming that the rest of the Commonwealth continues to improve, do we have concerns about pockets, outbreak pockets in communities, and what are the real risks to those communities?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, I think that if there's a large segment of a community that's not immunized, then they're not going to have sort of the collective benefit of sort of herd immunity in that area. And so there's a potential for at least local introduction and spread of the disease. I mean, at this point in time, the numbers for the state have been steadily declining. You know, we're really in a very good position right now. And honestly, Massachusetts has done much better than we're in sort of the top 10 or 15 states in terms of vaccine coverage countrywide. But there is definitely a risk for introduction and spread and sort of focal clusters or focal outbreaks if there are, groups in certain communities that have not been vaccinated.
Doctors Daron and Hamer are here to answer your coronavirus questions. The number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you have a question. Dr. Daron, a few weeks back, we had Dr. Ashish Jha from Brown University on. We were talking about comparisons between where we were in Massachusetts and where Texas was at that time. And he raised the question of seasonality and how it affects our rates of infection and spread, hospitalization, et cetera. Do we know how much of the good picture we're seeing in the Commonwealth right now is a result of a successful vaccination strategy? You know, yesterday, 89 new confirmed cases and 4 deaths versus seasonality. I mean, last June, we had a range of about 22,000 positivity cases a day in the nation. This June, it's 15,000. That's not a huge, cliff. So do we know?
I think we don't know to what extent the seasonality is helping. I think that it certainly is. And I do think that it's likely that we will see some rise in cases in the fall without a surge and without overwhelming hospitals. I think that what we can see, though, in terms of the data that's different this spring summer compared to last spring summer, is that not only are cases falling, but cases are becoming really decoupled from hospitalizations and deaths. So although cases are low and cases were low this time last year, deaths have consistently been the lowest in the history of the pandemic, every single day for weeks and weeks now. And so that's where I think you can see that this is clearly not just seasonality. It's vaccines perhaps being helped by seasonality.
Dr. Hamer, anything you'd add there?
No, I agree with Dr. Daron. I mean, I think the initial vaccination efforts were at least early on were targeted at older people and people with underlying medical problems, and therefore a higher risk population. And then gradually working our way down to younger people who have a lower risk of severe disease, lower risk of hospitalization. And I think that there probably is a seasonality effect, but I think that the even greater effect is good vaccine coverage. And that the fact that we started with the most vulnerable population, reached fairly good coverage, at least in many states, in those people. And that has helped slow down hospitalizations and, you know, mortality for that population. And that, you know, even though there's still a good number of cases, they're more commonly occurring in younger people who tend not to get as sick and tend not to be hospitalized and are very unlikely to die. Not completely unlikely though, but so, I mean, all of this, you know, is good news.
All right, let's see if we can sneak in one more quick question and quick answer. We've got Chrissy on the line in Hopkinton. Chrissy, go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering what the doctors think will happen in the fall when the kids go back to school, if there's a chance that they may be able to be mask-free.
So, Dr. Durone, I'll give that to you. We've got about a minute left.
Yeah. I think that I do want to make sure that we clear up a misconception, which is the idea that unvaccinated always equals unsafe. Our children are becoming safer every day, even those who are unvaccinated, as the cases continue to plummet. So I think it is a possibility that unvaccinated children in school could be maskless if the case rates are very low.
All right, you were so effective that I get to ask you a follow-up, which is, do we know a rough timeline of when vaccinations might be authorized for emergency use for younger kids than can get them now?
It's really going to depend on the CDC's ACIP discussion about exactly what the criteria are for emergency use authorization. And with declining age and declining cases, that definition of emergency is sort of, you know, the goalposts on that are moving. And so while the clinical trials are expected to be done by fall, when the vaccine is released will depend on whether it's released by emergency use or whether it needs a full license.
And Dr. Hamer, last question for you. What's the next big threshold you're looking for? The next sort of tranche of, okay, we've made it to the next place of safety and progress on our pandemic response.
I'd like to see more states around the country reaching the level that Massachusetts has reached, good 50, 60%, ideally 70% level of coverage, ideally with two doses. There are a lot of parts of the country where that's not happening, and even, you know, local neighborhoods within Massachusetts where that rate or that level of coverage has not been reached. And so I think we need to be more aggressive to try and attain those levels. And then that will help really further slow transmission and prevent sort of focal outbreaks from happening.
All right. That's so great. Dr. Davidson Hamer of Boston Medical Center and Boston University School of Medicine and Dr. Shira Durone of Tufts Medical Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Great to have you both. We appreciate it.